Hello, everyone. It's Dr. Jensen from Dean's Chat. If you're on the fence as to whether you want to join the American Podiatric Medical Association, jump on in. It's a new APMA. Whether it's advocacy concerns, scope of practice, billing and coding, consider membership at the APMA as your professional insurance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dean's Chat. Here in studio today, we're trying something new. Our studio has opened up a on-site location and a new location, and so we're here testing out some new equipment and experiences, and I'm really excited to be joined today from two of our students from Western University, the California Podiatric Medical School. So thank you to Ritika Surasetti and to Kaylin Lam for joining me here on Dean's Chat.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So I'd love to start a little bit. We all met recently at the Western Foot and Ankle Conference that was held in Anaheim at Disneyland. And you were both helping moderate or being the assistant to the moderating sessions. And that's how I, of course, got really excited to talk to you and ask you more questions about your background and your experiences at the conference and what that all looked like. And then that translated into a, hey, maybe you would join me on Dean's Chat and talk a little bit about your personal experiences. So Ritika, if you don't mind, we'd start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your background? You have a bachelor's degree in science of neuroscience from the University of California, Riverside. But can you tell us a little bit about what your undergrad was like, how you got introduced to podiatry, and what was about the Western University that caught your attention to have you matriculate there?
Yeah, of course. I'd love to. So as Dr. G was saying, I did go to UC Riverside. And prior to that, I was a dancer. So I did a lot of Indian cultural dance. The little tagline that I always love to do is I was the kid that, like, I kid you not, I loved asking questions about everything to my dance professors. So I didn't get for the longest time why we were stretching all the time. We were wasting 15 minutes of precious class time that my parents wanted me to dance for. So I was like, why are we doing this? I genuinely am confused. So they would always be like, you know what? Why don't you ask a podiatrist? Why don't you ask your physicians to ask you? So that kind of propelled me as I became a dancer to see how important stretching was. And I can say as I became older, it's so important, the type of shoes you wear, type of socks, importantly, that you wear, that you're integrating to your life. So by the time that I came to undergrad, I really knew that I wanted to go into medicine because I loved learning the mechanics. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And neuroscience is such a system-based type of medicine that we learned a lot about lower extremity on my campus back in Riverside. So it got me to propel myself after graduating and be like, I should shadow a podiatrist. So I shadowed Dr. Amin and Corona, and I can't believe I shadowed a couple podiatrists. And what I loved seeing was how much, honestly, logic and common sense was used. It's so important about the type of movement that we have in our lives to be so focused on common sense. It makes sense that rough terrain can hurt your arches and inevitably lead to pathology with chronic usage. So being able to have that support was just so important to me. So ultimately, being able to go to Western, they had a very kind of like-minded type of morality to them that I really loved. Being able to integrate professionalism and not always having the blade come up first was something that attracted me to the program when I was applying. So I love that holistic approach. So ultimately, I think that gravitated me towards the program and helped define me.
I love that. And having dance as such an influential part of your background, the curiosity, the mechanics, I can see that pathway so beautifully lining up. Have there been things in the curriculum thus far, you're in your second year, that have really caught your interest so far?
Ooh, I love that, because I feel like in our podiatry curriculum, as a lot of programs from day one, we're treated as future surgeons. So having the integration of biomechanics, and I know Dr. Ritchie, you love your biomechanics. Yeah. So I know that being able to have that integration was so important, and I loved, again, using that common sense, we're seeing how when we have a heel strike, what's happening to the foot? Why are we wanting a more pliable foot to the ground? We learned that in terms of in gate and making sure that when we're doing our tests, we know the proper process. So that really helped, I think, highlight to all of us. I definitely saw me and Kaylin, our light bulbs were on in class. Like, it made sense to see us walk, and rewatching videos and reusing like a lot of what in like is integral to our body ever since, like, for the evolution was, I think, very well orchestrated to us at our curriculum.
And having instructors and faculty that help walk you through that process, because you're right, common things being common, these things do make sense. But sometimes without frameworks and structures to talk about it in a way where it's like, well, of course that makes sense. Again, you were a dancer in that moment of like, why are we doing all these things? I'm not really understanding. And then you start to recognize the importance of the balance between the soft tissues and how they interact with the skeletal system and how load impacts things. You start to understand and appreciate how nuanced and or pathologic it can get very quickly. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. Kaylin, can you tell us a little bit about your background? You have your bachelor's degree from University of San Francisco in biology. How did you find out about podiatry, and what was it that drew you to the Western College?
Of course. So I'm a native of the Bay Area. I went to USF, go Dons. I majored in biology. When I applied for undergrad, I knew I wanted to be in medicine. I just didn't know what type. I was debating between PA, debating between MD, DO, podiatry. I knew I had all these things in front of me, but I just still was confused. So I went through my 4 years of undergrad. I had various jobs in different medical specialties. So I worked in dermatology, ortho, nephrology. So I was actually in dialysis. And I was kind of figuring out what worked for me, what didn't. And then I realized, what did they all kind of have in common? And actually, the last person I worked for that was a dermatologist told me, Kaylin, I think you're just interested in the lower extremities. And I was like, oh, you're right. And just like Ritika, I wasn't a dancer, but I had a soccer background. I played soccer my whole life. I frequented my podiatrist all the time. I had numerous tears, broken bones, you name it. And I think I just wasn't aware of how you become a podiatrist. I thought it was you go to normal medical school and it was something you matched into. I didn't know it was its own school on its own. So once I figured out it had its own path, I was really excited and I started researching all the different schools. I actually got to shadow Dr. K at Midwestern. So that was really nice. I got a day there, talked to some third years, did some shadowing in Los Angeles as well. And that's how I ultimately figured out podiatry is for me. I was interested in all the amputations with the diabetic patients I worked with. In ortho, I was only interested in all the foot cases, not the spine or the hand. And then same thing in derm. I was super interested in like psoriasis, tinea pedis, all of those things involving the lower foot. And it also related to me because I had all those things as a kid playing soccer. So Western was really the best choice for me because I wanted to expand my horizons out of the Bay Area, move to Southern California. Not only did I love the weather, but like Ritika said, we have a great integration program with the DOs at our school. So we really learn about the body holistically, and it's very rewarding and challenging at times. But that's why Western was ultimately the best fit for me.
Yeah, and I'd love to spend a little time talking about your experiences with that integrated curriculum, because I agree with you. This to me is the modern version of what podiatry and podiatric medical education looks like. We don't just treat an isolated part of the body. We do treat humans attached to that part of the body. And while we can specialize in that area, and I love that we specialize and specialize early, it is still appropriate to, you know, you're coming out, you're going to be a physician and a surgeon. You still need to have an appropriate medical background as well. So can you talk a little bit about what that integration looks like in your school? And where the challenges are as a student in terms of what maybe we'll start with that. And then I'll ask some follow-up questions in terms of preparation and what you wish you would have known kind of questions.
Of course. So at Western, we are integrated fully with the DOs. We only have one difference in our classes, them being OMM, ours being PMP. So we're learning about all the different body systems. We have different blocks. So we started out with MSK, then we went to neuro, and then we did GI and renal, respiratory, cardio. So it's really cool learning about all the different body systems. I think as a podiatry student, it can get kind of confusing at times, remembering the end goal, especially when you're doing all these classes on top of your podiatry classes. But ultimately, just like you were saying, in order to treat a diabetic patient who has an ulcer or wound on their foot, you ultimately need to know about diabetes and the kidneys as well. So the body as a whole, it all plays a part with each other. It's not just why something happens only at the foot. Of course, it stems from something higher up. But like I said, it can be very challenging because it's a lot to juggle, but it is very rewarding. I'm sure Ritika agrees.
And Ritika, can you tell us a little bit about your experiences with that integration? What do you think are the pros? And again, there's always I wouldn't say a con, because I don't really know if there's a con, but I would say what's the flip side of the coin, maybe the challenges that come with that kind of integration?
Yeah, I think honestly, Kaylin is speaking facts. We are we're taught as full body physicians. And as she said, it's true. It's kind of hard to see the light at the tunnel when, you know, you're stuck in renal and you're just trying to figure out how the math adds up in your mind and how many channels there are, which is so beautiful now that we're in the summer and we can appreciate it. So I do love their integration of, as Kaylin was saying, when we're looking at diabetes, we want to look at every other function in the body. We're looking also at cardio. How is their cardiac function? We're looking at neuro. Are they having, you know, intact nerve sensation? And I think that's so important to how we're being trained, because when we're taking our history, we're not just saying, okay, but is it only there? We're trying to see, okay, but we're looking with other professionals. We're going to work together as a group to make sure that this patient who's coming to you, they're ultimately, that's their biggest problem in their life, maybe right now at that point. So we're maybe, you know, when we're practicing and like in the future, we're seeing so many number of pathologies, but that patient is right there with you, worried about theirs. So I think Western really taught us that very efficiently in our clinical classes. They're talking to us about humanism. They're talking to us about the type of doctor that they want to see us and we want to see us and work together to that. So I really loved how much they cue on professionalism and humanism with our curriculum, because it's just, I know that it's hard for us to see right now because we're deep in the books, but definitely when you're going to your future physician and you're asking these questions, you want them to treat you like a person. So I think that the school did a very good job with making sure that we're prepared. We're not robots, that's for sure. Something I think that the other side of the coin, as you were saying, Dr. Ritchie, I definitely feel that the start of the year, I think with any program, it's like that water hose and mouth analogy. I definitely think we have been in as SALT ambassadors, we definitely do improve on letting prospective students, interviewees know about how rigorous it can be. Because I definitely felt sometimes coming in that I didn't have as much of that shock factor. I was like, okay, like I'm kind of here. I'm trying to see what like the hits I'm taking. But we're now integrating all of us ambassadors to be more real with students and saying, hey, it's not cake. Not even a walk. Maybe it's not even a job. Sometimes it's a 12, it's a 12 mile, level incline. Sometimes it feels like that. So that's something that I wish was talked about more, especially in podiatry, because we're getting that podiatry curriculum. You know, you're learning your lower extremity in 1.5 months ahead of the schedule for didactic. So you want to make sure that the person who's coming in and investing themselves in this program with so much on the line for themselves, that they feel like a warrior. You know, it's like Pilates. You want to train for the war.
Yes. And you can do hard things. The goal is to go into a profession where you're going to continue to do hard things, caring for someone, either surgically or not, but caring for them and their well-being is hard. And so having programs and curriculum that set you up for success in that, and not make it sound like, well, this is not going to be a big deal, or this is like a certification program. Like, no, you're training for a career, a profession, not just I'm going to glock in from 9 to 5 to a thing. Like, that's not the reality of what it is. And I agree with you. I think some people may have been sold that at some phase of this, and making sure that we are transparent about the realities of what the job has to offer in terms of professional satisfaction, which is huge, but also acknowledging that part of that is ownership and accountability for the gravity of what we do, which is care for patients, especially if you choose to go into the surgical realm. That's even more of a gravity that you're assuming in that role. So I love that you brought that up. And you also brought up the SALT program, which stands for, hang on, I wrote it down, Student Ambassador Leadership Training. Can you talk a little bit about, that sounds like a unique program specific to the Western College. Can you talk a little bit about how you got involved and what your favorite parts have been?
Oh,
Rashida, we'll start with you. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know it's hard to tell with...
We're like twins. But the SALT program, it's an ambassadorship program that essentially we're able to talk with interviewees. So most likely whoever applies towards the Western CPM, the podiatry program, goes through the interview. And at the end of the interview, after finishing with the faculty member, you will meet with one of us who's an ambassador. And you get to just honestly ask those quote unquote stupid questions. We don't believe in that. That's a stigma. No, it's not here in this room, but we get to have you ask that. And we ask you, you know, how are you feeling, and check in on you, because as much as you're being vetted, we want to make sure you vet us, because that's integrity and transparency in itself. So the SALT program really aims to make sure that every interviewee has a chance to know what a day in the life is like. It's like Instagram brought to life, I like to think of it. And another opportunity we get is we get to go to local undergrads like my alma mater and other around the area, as well as on campus. I just taught a suture workshop to high schoolers that are interested in like podiatry or the med field in general as pre-meds for college. We get to have them experience what podiatry is. And I love that. I love that we get to do this, because Kaylin and I, we didn't know like what exactly podiatry was until we were like in the working forces, or like in, like for me, it was an undergrad, like through word of mouth. So being able to have that experience of telling these individuals about it has been really rewarding. So,
and with the student ambassador program, I know a lot of universities will have an ambassador program for students that are interviewing to answer questions about the university and kind of what to expect. But this also includes, is it mentorship as well with these undergrad and high school students?
Yeah, I do feel like I've honestly made a lot of bonds, and I have like made those connections, and I've definitely had people who have approached me and said, hey, I really want to apply. And I really do feel like it's just, I don't even know where to start. Like at the conference at the Western, I've definitely met in the exhibit where all the vendors were, a lot of students, prospective students that were just debating on applying to podiatry programs. And we are so transparent about the fact that they should make sure they're diverse enough, apply to as many as they feel comfortable with and are within their checklist. So we definitely take that mentorship, and we talk to them and guide them through that process. And we, sorry, this a little spoiler, but for this coming year, we get to be like bigs, and we have littles, so the incoming first year. So we had our bigs, and I'm so lucky for mine, Ellie. She's amazing, but we get to have littles, so we get to mentor them for the rest of their first year, so they're not drowning, hopefully.
Yeah, and mentorship is such an important part of this, and mentorship even before you become a student. Kaylin, I'd love to get your perspectives on the SALT program. And what are some of the opportunities that you've been a part of that really stand out to you as helping solidify your own interest in the field of podiatry?
Yeah, so being a part of the SALT program, like Ritika was saying, we do a lot of outreach things. So I was recently just a part of a Zoom spring break medical school fair with UC Davis. So there was a couple of DO students, me representing CPM. We got to talk to a bunch of UC Davis students that were interested in maybe Western DO or Western CPM. And for me, I love talking about podiatry, how I got into it, especially like Ritika was saying, we weren't that knowledgeable of it from day one. That was really rewarding. And like she was saying, I left my email, phone number, like all of these students can contact us, not just through this fair. Same thing with the buddy program. All your buddies, we check in throughout the whole school year. But that fair definitely stood out to me because I kept getting a lot of personal DMs through the Zoom asking about, you know, my experience working at UCSF in ortho, or, hey, how did you get a job here? Or were you involved in any research? And so as much as I could reply, I also just was replying after hours through email and phone, things like that. And I honestly love that because I'm a first gen student. I didn't have anyone in my family, like parents, sibling, go to college. So I really just want to be like a big sister to everyone because I kind of had to figure it out on my own. I'm really thankful for my roommates in college because I honestly think we just were all first gen bouncing ideas off. So that's really what I'm trying to do now. And it's really rewarding. And it has solidified that I'm in the right place. Podiatry is for me. I love advocating my story. And I also, what Ritika was saying, it's not about us advocating necessarily for Western. We want everyone just to find their place, whether it's at Western or a different college or not podiatry, podiatry. Ultimately, everyone just needs to be comfortable in their decision and also have passion for it at the end of the day too, because it's not just a job to me and Ritika and you. Ultimately, we just want to make a difference in a lot of people's lives, whether that's patients or, like we said, undergraduate students, first-gen students. So that's really rewarding to me, and I'm glad to be a part of SALT.
Yeah, and I love that. In a world right now where we have such a need for compassionate healthcare providers and physicians and allied health professionals at all levels, right? And when, as a student, when you're starting to even scratch the surface on all of these different opportunities in healthcare, it can feel overwhelming. If you're a first-gen student, I'd love to get your perspective on, like, where do you even begin sometimes? But finding the connection between the person and the program and the field or the specialty, I feel like that's half the battle, because there's so many people that have interest in things like sports medicine or even just mobility, right? Like just being, continuing to maintain a healthy, active lifestyle. It doesn't have to be sports medicine in the traditional sense, but just activity, keeping people moving and active. It can feel very limiting. Like, well, there's only these two specialties that I can go into. And when you start to learn a little bit more about what all the options are, I agree with you. We're not here to sell anybody on podiatry. Like, you should want to go into this. Like, if you don't want to go into this, please find the thing that's right for you. But there are plenty of people out there that just don't even know that it's an option, or that it is a separate option than traditional MD-DO training. And so that was, I think, the initial impetus for this podcast was Dr. Jensen was like, let's just get the word out there. Like, let's just start having conversations with people about what it is and what the training looks like. At one point, we had all had a discussion a little bit about diversity and why diversity matters in healthcare in general, but certainly in podiatry, where there are so many advantages of flexible work schedules so that can appeal to a lot of different, we'll just say people, and we'll start with that as a jumping off point. But Kaylin, I'd love to get your perspective, and then Ritika will go to you, about why diversity matter, or inclusion, or whatever word we're wanting to use these days to talk about these issues. But why do you think that that matters? And what advice would you give students that maybe don't feel like a traditional medical student to help them be successful?
Of course. Diversity is huge for me. So I'm half white, half Chamorro, which is from the island of Guam. And for me, like I said, medicine in general, I don't have anyone really in my family that's a doctor. I didn't have anyone close to me, like mom, dad, sister went to college. So I didn't really see a little Chamorro girl in healthcare, if I'm being honest. And in Guam, it's about probably less than 200,000 people that live on the island. And currently to the day, there's probably about 3 active podiatrists on the island. And with diabetes really rampant there, you can see the need for more podiatrists. So I didn't see myself in an MD, DO, podiatry, and I pushed through, and especially being first gen, I just really wanted to make that difference. Like, a dream of mine someday is also to get a license and be able to help back in the island. So diversity is huge for me. And especially when you see, when you're looking at different statistics at different schools and you see that the ethnicity you may fit into is like less than 0.5% of the entire school. It can feel discouraging. And so that's what I'm here for. I was a mentor to 2 Bay Area youth students at my time at UCSF. And they came from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, definitely first gen, different Pacific Islander ethnicities. And I just felt that it was important to tell them that you may not see someone like a role model that's of your ethnicity in healthcare right now, but you're going to be that person. And that's what I aspire to be as well. I know in podiatry, like we were saying, there's heavily dominated by men. Not a lot of women are in it. But something that was big for me is, like you were saying, how flexible it is. Depending on what avenue you go down, it doesn't have to be your whole life is taken over by your career. You can still have a good work-life balance. So for me, yeah, diversity is just really big. I definitely recommend reaching out to as many people. I know for me, there wasn't a lot of people to reach out to. So I used Reddit or Student Doctor Network. I also heavily talked to the older SALT ambassadors at Western before I had admitted. So reach out as much as possible, even use social media, Instagram, I'd recommend for people, because it really helped me make a decision of where I was going to go, what specialty, and helped me ultimately feel better as well. So yeah, that's what I'd recommend.
Dean's Chat is headed to the National in Nashville in just a couple months. Jeff, are you excited?
Oh, I'm very excited. We'll be there on August 7th. We'll be at the APMA National Meeting. It's kind of the pod expo we'll be involved with. Hopefully, if you're there, you'll come by and say hi to us.
Yeah, last year was so much fun. We had some scheduled interviews. We had people walk up and be part of the community. And it's wonderful to connect with people in that organic and natural way there in the expo hall.
Absolutely. It's always fun to catch up with our colleagues. And last year, I thought it was one of the highlights of the meeting. So I'm really looking forward to it. So if you have not registered yet, go to www.apma.org/the national. And we encourage you to be there and hope you can drop by. And we'll even do a little interview if you want and put you on Dean's Chat.
Yeah, the fun little snippets. We love to, but even if you don't want to be on and you just want to come say hi, we love to engage with the audience and connect.
Absolutely. Bye now.
Cheers, everyone.
Yeah. And I can absolutely validate that. What we know about medicine is outcomes for patient care are better when patients see themselves represented by the staff that are helping care for them. There are inherent trusts and understandings that sometimes can be fostered without much facilitation when patients can see themselves represented. And I think the exact same thing is true for students wanting to see themselves in these positions and being represented. And I'm really proud of our profession for, we may still have quite a ways to go, but we've really come a long way in terms of opening more doors and acknowledging how much of the healthcare landscape is changing and where those needs are. And we're excited to have passionate people like you coming into this profession to continue to shape it and mold it into whatever it's going to look like in the future. Because being able to see yourself represented in a panel, in a leadership position, in a role that you want to hold is such a powerful motivator. And we want our students and residents to come in and be motivated to continue to build the future of healthcare. So thank you so much for being willing to talk about some of those things. Because I know certainly this was a while ago that I was a student, but we had 4 women in my class and that was it. And so now it's almost half students are female. So again, the world is changing and we want to continue to provide opportunities for everyone. And when you see those opportunities, you're more likely to say, hey, I can do that. Or, hey, I want to do that. Oh, I saw how this person did that. And we can see reflections of ourselves in a lot of different ways through a lot of different people. So this isn't as simple as male, female, and insert, other identifier. Like there are so many ways we can relate to one another, but the more voices we have doing that, the more we can relate to one another. So I also feel very passionate about this, obviously, but I'm going to take the opportunity to stop talking. And Ritika, I'm going to hand the ball back over to you. What is it that you think is important when we talk about diversity? Well, let's start with the schools for now, and then you can advance into long-term professionalism.
Yeah, I think it's so important. As all of us are like so being so passionate about like it, the diversity matters. The type of doctors that we want to see out on the outside, we want them to know like as much as they can know about the type of population. And, SoCal, the Southern California is no different. We are so diverse down here. And it's incredible to see that when I make an appointment with, you know, my PCP, I'm seeing someone who looks like me. And it was so important for me to go into medicine and to find podiatry because I wanted to make sure that, first of all, as people identify as women and gender, non-identifying individuals, their voices are being heard. Every person's anatomy is so different, and sometimes it's not respected enough. And that was something that I was super passionate about going into the program, because I liked seeing how diverse and open-minded we are to have these open conversations about not being able to identify oneself in one specific way. Like, it's not always a label. And I love that the school encompasses about the fact that you don't have to label yourself. No one's forcing you to, and you shouldn't have to do that for your patients too, because once we place that label on, there's no way that it's never not going to remind them of that experience for the rest of their lives. So I think it's even just the same as like saying what their condition is. You know, you could have someone who has diabetes or even a sports injury that can come in, and forever they're going to be tainted with the fact that they're going through this life. And I think the same can be said for any gender conforming confirmations too. So I feel really, really passionate about that type of identifiability and being able to be open and honest and have the hard conversations. I know it's not easy to, but having the hard and rough conversations is what is able to make us evolve and eventually just have that intellectual ability sometimes, because I talk to, you know, older individuals in my family, and sometimes they don't really understand what's going on. They'll be like, wait, but there's only two things. And I'm like, not exactly. So, you know, you have to plug in science and you have to plug in like sociology and kind of allow ourselves to be open and vulnerable about that. So I think being able to see diversity is just, it's not concrete. It's not cement.
In terms of things that we can do better moving forward for students at all levels, high school, pre-undergrad, undergrad, maybe post-bac even, what are some things that you, as you've interacted now with lots of different students at various levels in their training, what are things that we could do better or differently? Maybe not better, if that's not the right word, but what could we do differently to help really open the door for those kinds of opportunities?
Yeah, I love this question because it raises a lot of, I think, the stigmas about the medical field and how rigorous it can be. I actually went up a couple months ago up to Sacramento with the CPMA organization and talked to legislators about their law. The CPMA wanted to propose a law about implementing to Cal State's and the University of California chains about podiatry-centric, centered programs, about having undergrad and having people who are just starting college to know about the field. I think being able to know about it earlier, it just makes curiosity strike, because I don't see as many people saying, hey, I didn't think about that when I was growing up. It's more like, oh, I realized that when my grandma went to go see a podiatrist. But being able to see that you can have such an amazing intro, so more earlier to have that, with MDDO counterparts, we're able to be on the same baseline, we're able to start at the same time on the race, so everyone has that flexibility to know, they're like Red Riding Hood, which path are they going to take. I love that, being able to have that, because I would have loved that. I would have loved to be like, wait, this is such a cool field, and be able to shadow earlier, make those connections, and start even looking into research about it, because it happens a little later than expected. So I really love that we were able to start, we're able to start earlier now.
Kaylin, anything that you wanted to add about things we could do differently, or again, better is such a judgmental word, but maybe better to offer more opportunity for diversity?
Of course. Just piggybacking off Ritika, I agree with everything she said, but starting early is really key for me. I think you could even start as early as middle school, college, and career fairs, getting, again, the word out about podiatry, because I think there's a stigma of, if you've ever even heard of it, you think, oh, you're just clipping toenails or removing calluses and warts. And so explaining how broad the field is and how, you know, we have a lot of diversity in our field. We can go down sports medicine. We can be into dermatology, even surgery. So just explaining to everyone what exactly podiatry is. And again, the course to get to become a podiatrist. So yeah, just starting young, advocating that, you know, it's evolving. There's people like me, Ritika, in this field. It's not just heavily male dominated. Is key for me, just starting young.
Fantastic. Piggybacking a little bit onto that, you were both involved at the Western. That's how we all met. I'd love to hear how that opportunity presented itself for you. And then we'll kind of shift a little bit into that experience. You both had talked about you got to engage with students that were there. I know that the it wasn't a suture event because of some of the restrictions with the site, but the students that were interested in the program got to go through tours and have a whole panel discussion and had a really excellent day. So I'd love to get your take. And Kaylin, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about how you found out about that opportunity and what your favorite parts of it were.
Of course. So at Western U, it's open for any of us students to go. There was a couple of us chosen, me, Ritika, and a couple of our peers, along with some students from Samuel Merritt actually came as well. Mm-hmm. We were chosen just to help out around the conference. Me and Ritika obviously being moderators, there was different roles helping with exhibits and checking in, House of Delegates, things like that. So we were chosen. I got to listen in on a lot of lectures, which I really liked. One that stuck out to me in particular was actually Dr. Blahovic's lecture. It was really end of day, but it was about myths in dermatology podiatry. I thought it was really cool. She was very engaging. She was joking about how it was an afternoon course and there wasn't many people in the crowd that stuck around. But yeah, it was really cool because I used to work in dermatology. So hearing the myths about like fixed vapor rub and duct tape and how some people were using that for onychomycosis and how some people thought they had like athlete's foot, but really could have been atopic derm to psoriasis. So that was really interesting to me. That was just one of all the lectures I got to hear. I was taking notes. I saw Ritika's notes on the side as well because we were interested. So yeah, that was very fun. We got to moderate some questions, help you all out with your Jeopardy game and the questions that appeared on the chat. But overall, it was a really good experience. I got to see a lot of the Western U faculty, the doctors that were there. And the exhibition hall was very cool too, because I got to see a lot of the posters, talk to different brands, and everybody was very open to talk, regardless that we had student on our badge, because we are the next professionals out there. So yeah, I'd recommend, even if you're not working it, to attend, because I believe it was free for majority of us students.
Beautiful. Ritika, how about you? What was your experience at the Western Foot and Ankle Conference?
Yeah, I feel like I agree with Kaylin. It was a wonderful opportunity. We both were moderating assistants, and I can't even believe how like the opportunity was given to us that we get to sit and observe and like kind of like absorb all these innovations happening in the field. It was honestly a very different lens because we're neither in class learning from our slides or shadowing, or but we're kind of in the middle seeing these highly distinguished people like just, you know, yap about their entire cool, amazing innovations. I definitely saw a lot of cool talks. There was one that was by Dr. Chu, and he was talking about like a new way to doing surgery on exposed tendons. And everyone in the audience was really psyching out because this new technique, it was so much more, it made very anatomical sense. And he was showing us the progression of multiple patients that he did his specific procedure and the protocol that he followed. So it was super interesting to me to see these kind of conversations being had about maybe not always the textbook has to define how we're approaching these techniques. It can be innovative. It can have a good foundation and kind of grow up from there, because we want to see granulations. We want to see that healthy tissue. We want to see these people not having to worry about their wounds and being able to see how invested so many podiatrists are in their patients' future was so heartfelt to see, because everyone ultimately was going there. And I saw so many people taking notes for their own practices and incorporating their new techniques. So it was really powerful to see so many like-minded individuals together in the auditorium, learning about it just like we were in school. So it tells me that, you know, learning objectives never leave us. I will say that. And ultimately, we're all just students, regardless of where we go. We're still learning. I think a lot of the DPNs that I got to talk to, like including Dr. Glazer, like he was saying, like, you always are a sponge and seeing what's next. It's never about just stop right there. You know, there's a wall in front of you. You have to make sure that you're keeping up to date with the new techniques. You're going to the exhibit and talking to all the different types of companies there are. And it's not just about getting the free stuff, you know, it's about investing in your future even more. So I really enjoyed that experience. And obviously we got to be on the podcast here. So I think we really liked it in the end.
And you're right. You're a lifelong learner. And if anything, you start to get more excited about learning because there isn't a test that you're like, you know, point A to point B. The flip side is your patient is your test, right? Your day to day. Am I getting better? Am I continuing to grow? Am I doing things from an evidence-based perspective? Like those become the tests. And having to kind of reflect on your own experiences and recognize like, you know what, maybe I need to do a little digging in this area. Maybe I don't know as much about this as I should. And who do I go and look at in terms of research to get these answers? Which maybe brings me to my last question. We're starting to wrap up and I can't believe we're already close to time, but as we have all seen a huge shift in terms of AI and how AI is going to shape and impact a lot of what we do, but certainly how we learn, I'd love to get your take as students actively engaged in it. Where do you think the best advantages of AI, but then also what are your hesitations or cautions in the use of AI and what are your perspectives on it? Kaylin, we'll start with you.
Of course. So Ritika and I definitely were at that cusp in undergrad where there was no ChatGPT. It was definitely just Google. So we didn't have something quickly to respond to us. But I think in terms of AI and podiatry, I know it's being used right now to help with like biomechanics. I know there's like sensors that are being put in tissues to help see where weight is being distributed, which is really nice because that's going to help with different pathologies. Also, AI is very helpful in terms of being a student. I use them, like Ritika was saying, to use my learning objectives, plugging them in, helping me make like a practice quiz, practice questions. I know that has really helped my study technique because in undergrad, it really was just reading back your slides over and over and over, rewriting the notes. So now I feel like I'm actually able to apply my knowledge and have a better understanding before I walk in my exams. So I think there's a pro and a con. It's very useful, but I would say for any prospective students or professionals, it's something that we can't rely on. Because even at the bottom of ChatGPT, it says, you know, ChatGPT can make mistakes. So make sure you do your own research. So I wouldn't use it and solely rely on it because ultimately we're not robots, like Ritika was saying. So use appropriately, but it's definitely aided me in my studies. And I know it's being used in different studies out there, like I was talking about with the sensors.
Yeah, and remote patient monitoring and data. I mean, there are so many good things that can come from this. Certainly just the administrative burden and charting and note, like all of the billing stuff. Like there's so much opportunity to help take some of the administrative burden that does contribute to things like workload and burnout. There's a lot of optimism there for sure. Ritika, what are your thoughts about AI?
Yeah, I think it's such a diverse field. I come from like my dad being super, like he's an engineer. He's heavily invested in this AI concept. He's like, if he could have a team goal, he would. But then also on my mom's side, she's a medical professional. So we both are kind of like, well, that's something like we should discuss about. It's not going to be the Matrix yet. You know, we should start thinking about what that like prevention might look like. And at the conference, there was this amazing panel about AI and podiatry and how a lot of physicians are using AI to help with like their patient notes, which I think is a great idea. However, I do know that because it's so dependable, it's being given autonomy, but I don't believe maybe we're at that point yet. It's still very crucial to like read your patient notes, make sure you're putting in your own input. It's sometimes the AI isn't, you know, speaking to the patient. We're not at that, maybe that place, if I don't know. But being able to have your own autonomy to what you believe of what the patient is experiencing was something that was really talked about that I felt was hitting a lot of people, like individuals' hearts in the conference. So it's a really big factor because we're in such a new age, and Kaylin is saying, like, we all use AI. We're using it, as students, we're using it to study. And I'm seeing a lot of, like, you know, new prospective students raising the questions up to curriculums and saying, well, how are we supposed to use that in our curriculum? What's the integration like? I hope to see, like, curriculums start using AI to, in a way that, like, we work with AI and be able to kind of harness its type of efficiency, but still keep that, like, podiatry. Like, I think podiatry has that humanism. So keeping that humanism is so intact, and that humanity that I would love to keep seeing. So there's so much innovation happening, and it's not just with the patient's notes. It can be with billing. I've seen a lot with AI being used in billing, and sometimes there's always an error prone, like, we humans are error prone, like, right? That's why for research journals, like, when you're submitting a research for your research, you're having a peer review. So I think that accountability is definitely what I think should still be hopefully happening.
Yeah. How do we leverage the human part of what we do and highlight the parts of the human aspect of care and outsource and leverage technology in the places that it can do a wonderful job of expediting, and the things that we, you know, the administrative burdens and the regulatory compliance, like, absolutely. How do we merge these two things in a way that is sustainable rather than replacing, well, here we can, you know, get back 25 minutes in a day from charting, but now we're taking that and having to do something new with it. Like, how do we continue to keep the focus on high quality patient care while at the same time also looking at professional sustainability, and how do we continue to give the best parts of ourselves in a way that is meaningful and human and leverage the technology to do what technology does best? And I think that that is the stuff that's the most exciting to me about the future of what this all looks like. And I'm so grateful to have students that are as enthusiastic and passionate as both of you to help us figure these things out and continue to carry the torch forward. So thank you so much, both of you, for taking the time from your busy schedules to come and talk to us and our audiences. We'll leave the final word to you of advice that you would give to a student that's looking at healthcare as a field. What would you say to them? And Ritika, we'll start with you.
Ooh, I definitely would say anybody who's entering into the field, as you entered, like, any parts of your life and you were starting new journeys, having an open heart and open mind and being so receptive is so important. You shouldn't have to feel like you know everything on the first day. Nobody does. I promise that. I was just as clueless, and Kaylin was just as clueless on the first day, and being able to bond over that. And we were even clinical class partners. Like, we both knew how much we all didn't know. I think the question is more, it's okay to be okay that you don't know as much as you think you do. So as you're going through this journey, being able to be very in tune with yourself and that you're doing the best that you can and you should be proud of everything that you've come forward is super important. So making sure that self-care is number one, and, you know, like, a bio break is not a break. You know, going to the bathroom is not a break. Eating is not a break. Making sure you are spending time with your, like, with yourself and your, like, your support system is what I would always say for people entering podiatry or anybody who's currently, like, you know, wanting to, like, is future, like, and to be interviewing the next day who we might be talking to.
Thank you. And Kaylin, how about you? Advice that you might give to a student who's looking at healthcare?
Yeah, just piggybacking off Ritika, I would just say, remember, like she was saying, you're always going to be a sponge. Even after you've maybe passed a class, you don't fully know everything about that topic yet, and that is okay. Another thing is that don't compare yourself to anyone on your journey. Your journey is its own. Like I said, you might not see anyone, a role model that looks like you. So you really can't compare. Don't compare grades. Don't compare your path, because ultimately some of the smartest people I know failed organic chemistry way back in undergrad, or didn't do as well here. And our professors are always telling us that. Just don't compare yourself, because ultimately we all go through different things and different challenges, and some things come easier than others for different subjects. So just stay true to who you are. Don't compare.
It's beautiful advice. And thank you so much, both of you, for the time today. And to our audience, thank you so much for joining us today on Dean's Chat. And if you were engaging with us through YouTube, please continue to subscribe and like the content and share. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please subscribe as well and leave a few comments in the review section. We love to hear from the audience. And then until next time, everyone, cheers.